Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Chelsea Devantes.
What's hey, up?
Hey. What?
Welcome,
is
welcome.
Up?
You guys, welcome. It was incredible to watch you do your intro live. I felt like I was at a little concert.
Thank you so much.
You and did hold up a lighter. I appreciated that. Yeah.
Started dancing, bought some merch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for buying the merch, by the way.
And
also, for people listening, there is a sale on TeePublic right now, I think until Saturday. So go hook us up and help keep the lights on. Get some TDZ merch, too.
Miles is rocking his pro-social distancing club shirt.
Yeah, this is going to age very poorly.
Pro-social distancing?
Yeah, but like when I explain to my kids, like in the ashes of like the nuclear winter, where they're like, why do we wear these garments that say Zeit Gang on them? I'm like, they're the only free clothes we had when we lost everything.
That's right. Chelsea, what have you been up to? How have you been spending your pandemic for the past month or so?
Oh, that's fun. We're just checking in on the last month of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's good. I've gone through some intense pandemic phases.
Yeah.
This last phase is experimenting with Xanax as a sleeping pill phase.
Okay.
Quarantine for me.
How's it working?
It's, you know, too well. That shit's addictive.
Yeah.
And they're like, you shouldn't do this. But I started pandemic with ZQL and moved into a CBD phase. And then I said, it's not enough. Turn it up.
Yeah.
So
I can still remember my dreams. Fuck that. Yeah. Give me some Xans.
Give me some Xanax.
And I want to close my eyes and open them, and it's daytime. And exactly. I don't
and
remember
then be confused
anything.
And have this weird feeling in the back of my mouth. And I'm like, what is that? It's so weird. That does this thing to my throat.
Every cough, every sneeze is COVID.
Yeah.
And how much time do you need to feel like you had a good night's sleep? Like, when are you feeling like you won hour-wise?
Oh, when I won? I mean, I love sleep. I would say 9 hours is great, and that's something that hasn't happened in maybe 7 years.
Oh, wow.
That's not. I think right now I'm at like, if I only wake up for 2 hours in the middle of the night, that's a good.
Yeah, you're balling. Yeah,
I'm balling. But I'm on Twitter at 3 a.m. Come find me. You know, I'm scrolling your daytime tweets.
What do you do during your witching hour? You scroll doom scrolling.
Doom scroll. Love a good doom scroll. Just turn up the brightness on my phone so it just really sears the nightmares into my
brain.
Turn
up the blue light on the phone too.
Yeah.
It's really fuck with noon my brain.
Time brain.
Yeah.
Are you a waking up in the middle of the night eater? Do you ever snack?
Oh, you know, I should start snacking. That actually might work well. No, I'm not a snacker. I'm like a paralyzed. I like to just to be paralyzed with fear, and I don't want anything to interrupt that time with myself.
Right. Yeah. It's pure anxiety. A diet of 100% anxiety.
And I read at night, which sounds respectable, but I read celebrity memoirs, so it's just sort of like it's like a neutral, you know?
Yeah,
right.
But that's work for you, right?
Now it's work. Yeah, because I started the Celebrity Book Club podcast. But I always read those books. I've been reading them since I was a teenager. It's my favorite literary genre. Don't roll your eyes. I'm looking at your eyes.
Would never.
I have a medical condition that keeps me from rolling my eyes. So.
Oh.
Couldn't happen.
That's incredible. So I've loved these books my whole life. I genuinely like reading them. But now I guess it's for work.
Right. If it doesn't interfere too much with your underrated, overrated, do you have a celebrity memoir that is like the gold standard? That's the Citizen Kane of...
The Citizen Kane of celebrity memoirs?
In that it's a movie? No, in that
it's a
best.
Really long movie, but we still love and respect it. You know, I would say I have a few. So Gabrielle Union's incredible.
Okay.
Jessica Simpson, I think it's out there that it's incredible. It's really great. Demi Moore, probably one of my favorites, if not my favorite.
Oh yeah, Anna was reading that and telling
Super
us all about
producer
that.
Producer Anna Hosnier. That was an event for our workplace when she was reading that. New harrowing stories every day.
The most secondhand book club experience I've ever had was when Anna was reading that book, where she'd be like, oh my God. So y'all, her fucking drinking problem. I'm like, what? Who are we talking about right now?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry, Demi Moore, the book.
I caught some real secondhand hate for Ashton Kutcher off of Anna's reading experience of that book.
Oh yeah, based on his really futuristic ideas of how alcoholism worked.
Yeah. Speaking of celebrity memoirs, that super producer Anna Hosnier has gotten us up on, she is reading or just finished reading the Mariah Carey one. Are you in on that one?
Oh, you guys, please. Please don't. How dare you insult me like this?
There was one to ever cop immediately. It's the Mariah Carey one, isn't it?
Not only did I cop it immediately, I forgot I pre-ordered it twice. Then on the morning of,
shit.
Was put that's on a mask.
Xanax.
The Xanax for sure. Put on a mask, risked the pandemic, went to Barnes & Noble, was like, do you have the Mariah Carey memoir? Are there any copies left? And they're
read
like,
read it on the floor
no
like a
this.
Seventh grader reading the latest Harry Potter book. Just read it right there on the floor of Barnes & Noble.
Right there on the floor of Barnes & Noble. Yeah. And then the audiobook, not to be slept on. It's one of the best
with her narrating,
to go on with the book. Yeah, narrating, singing, doing impressions of her mother.
I've only read maybe one celebrity biography book. It was Miles Davis's because that one is wild and my namesake. So I figured I'll owe it to Miles Davis to read about that, which is very entertaining. Mm. But I think the next one I'll probably dabble in is like one of the managers of Arsenal has one where he's narrating it and I miss his voice. So like, I'm gonna be like, tell me about your life, Arsene, please.
Mm. I love that. Here's the thing though. I like autobiographies. I don't like biographies. I don't want to hear it from someone else's point of view. I want you to tell me what was going on in your head.
Yeah. From your unbiased perspective of how your life went.
All I care about are biased perspectives.
Yeah. Yeah. What, Jake, is something you think is underrated?
I was thinking about this, actually, and this is kind of a bit of an abstract one, but I think it's underrated going on websites that aren't social media. Like, I was talking to someone the other day, and I was like, you know, mentioning it, and they were like, why do you even have a website? Like, what's the point anymore? I was like, what? Like, there's so many, you know, there's so many cool websites still out there, but all anybody does is just go on social media now. So I think that's definitely underrated. Like, you can find some cool message boards and stuff. I grew up on the internet, man, and I hate the way social media just ring-fenced it all into this, like, argument. But, underrated. Going on other websites that aren't social media.
Yeah.
What kind of websites are you trafficking? Like, what time are you, what are you heading to get off the social media?
Pornhub? No, I'm joking.
sponsor like, the show.
like all sorts of stuff. Like, I was reading a message board the other day about Baofeng radios and ham radio and stuff like that. And it's really nerdy, but I was just looking at it and it was so cool to just see them in their own little community, completely detached from anyone else. Like, there's no one chirping in and being like, oh, fucking nerds, or like,
right, you know,
vote now or whatever. Like, it was just
MAGA!
Like
what?
Yeah, right? Like, or some Nazi or whatever. It was just like these guys having some crazy, like, very nerdy conversation about ham radios. And I don't fully understand most of what they were saying, but I guess I just got lost in it, you know, and I was like, oh, right. This is great.
Yeah, I do that sometimes with just like plumbing. If there's like a plumbing issue or like some issue I have to figure out around the house, or like finding a manual for something, like you go into a forum that's like just super expert and it's like, ah, I feel like I'm in the 80s all the time.
Right.
Like,
yeah. There's something really nice about it. Sorry.
Yeah, or you have a question, you go into like a message board and you're like, you know what? I'm gonna engage this message board and I'm gonna dabble. And like everyone's super nice, like doing like the most friendly mansplaining of like an electrical issue. Yeah. They're like, okay, let me walk you through this. I'm like, damn, this motherfucker had 15 minutes to type this like screed, but very informative. Was like very kind. Cause other places, you feel like Reddit, you go to other places where there's like communities going, you ask a dumb question, like, what you just fucking find out yesterday about this shit?
Yeah.
Well, it's nice when you go places and like they want to share the info.
I had a thing on Twitter. I was like asking how to get a radio code for like this shit car that I had. And this guy, I screenshotted it somewhere. This guy was like, kill yourself, dickhead. I was like, okay. Thanks. Fucking crazy, man. I was like, oh, Twitter is not the place to ask anything, man.
No, absolutely not.
I thought one of the best metaphors of the of that show, that movie, The Social Dilemma, was them talking about how, like, imagine if when you went to Wikipedia, like, the page just changed depending on what they thought you wanted to read. Like, that's right. And that's what your social media reality is. And that's all anybody uses anymore. Like, that's what's...
Right.
That's what's fucking
Yeah, like,
us
there
over.
Are times when I was like, I thought I used to be more into, like, street cars. And I'm like, that's just because at a moment I was scrolling a bunch of shit and it kept giving me, like, this information. It's weird how I found, like, after watching The Social Dilemma, trying to realize how much it was informing, like, what I was getting interested in. Like, even very passively. Not that it was, like, I was getting, you know, radicalized on the internet. But I was like, oh, I'm more into, like, you know, Nissan Skyline GTR picks or things like that. And then suddenly and now it's like, oh, do you like fantastic throw blankets? Because I was like cold in my house and I was like, I need a throw blanket. But I'm like, what happened to my Skyline content? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's freaky. Yeah. Shit's freaky.
Your taste in Nissans has always been a little radical.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, I had a cousin in Japan who had a Skyline. People don't know this. They don't have them shits in the U.S. They don't know the beauty about that car. I mean, unless you
the old Japanese ones. I love them. You know, like the old Japanese ones, the boxy ones. Yeah, love them, man. Yeah. See, I see a sports car and I'm like, fuck, that's horrible. I see one of them old school 90s boxy Nissans. Love it, mate. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Especially those the circular tail lights, baby. Woo! Should look like a Batmobile. On a budget.
Definitely.
What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, look, my underrated, overrated are basically not one and the same. There's two sides of the same coin. I don't know what the expression to use, but texting and calling, okay? I think calling is underrated. Calling your homies is underrated. Yeah. And texting is fine because I do it all the time, but I also call all my friends. But I hate people that are just like, especially on Twitter, you see it all the time. You're going to FaceTime me without a warning? It's like, yeah, you ugly bitch. Answer your fucking FaceTime. I'm your friend. I don't care what you look like, you stupid ass selfish bitch. I just want to talk to you and see you. Yeah. Right. So I'm just kind of sick of this attitude of like, especially right now. Right now is the time to get into calling your friends if you've never been into it. But I've been into it since I was a kid. You know, I used to have that Garfield phone. Oh, hey.
Oh, shit. And look at you.
Wow. I know. Yeah. I think we got it at a garage sale. I love talking on the phone. My friends all know, my close friends know that I just love, I'll call them all the time. Not all the time, but frequently.
Time flies on a phone call.
Oh my God, it's so fun.
It's like, it's time travel. Like, one of my boys called me over the weekend, and I was like, next thing you know, he's like, damn, we were just talking for 50 minutes. And he's like, and I was just calling to tell you about this one thing. And I was like, I know. Mm-hmm. It, and then this is what happens. You start being like, remember this? What's going on? What? Oh, my God. All right, be safe. Kiss the children for me.
Because you love each other. And that's all it is. It's, phone calls are such a good way to express the love for each other. And I think also because of social media, people think that they're seeing their friends. You know, like, oh, yeah, I've seen you.
Right.
It's like, bitch, you haven't talked to this person in so long. You need to call each other. Hearing each other's voices is so nice. That's also why people like listening to podcasts. It's like they're hearing their friends talk.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You know? To the listener right now, especially you.
We are talking to you.
And you, Rebecca-tha, we love you.
I like that you just picked the two most popular names in America.
Yeah.
Jerry and Rebecca-tha.
Yeah. Rebecca-tha, you know.
I am, I just have to.
Here he goes. He can't even get this thing now.
He's getting verklempt.
Typical Valley behavior. I have to just say, because there may be listeners who are like me, or maybe I'm uniquely fucked, but time for me when I'm on a phone call goes actually much slower, and I don't know why. That's just probably
even a personal
even
call?
Like with a friend. Yeah, yeah.
Looking at your watch? You're like, oh my God.
Oh my God. I'm always like trying to figure out like the nearest off ramp. It's bad. But I mean,
how many close friends do you have?
Oh, that's a complicated question.
Yeah, see, you're just a piece of shit. Yeah, I bet.
I still like feel your observation. Like, I haven't talked to my homie for like 6-7 months, and like we've just been texting a lot. And then I called him for his birthday over the weekend, and it's like totally different. It's like, man, I forgot how much I loved like the sound of your voice. Now let me get the fuck off this call.
but here's the thing. I saw you need though. I'm not saying you got to be on the phone for an hour to catch up with people.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, yeah, a quick call sometimes is better than like. I mean, especially right now, we're not seeing people. You know, we're texting time is getting lost through texting. You know.
Yeah.
Like you think you're talking to people, and next thing you know, you're like, damn, I haven't talked to this person. Or it feels like you talk to them a lot, but really you're not, because the time is going so slow in life, and then texting is like it's not sufficient. That's all I'm saying. It's not sufficient. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry you don't have any close friends that you love chatting on the phone with.
No, it is sad.
Were you ever a phone chatter though, Jack? Even as like a kid, like, you know, and be like, get off that phone, Jack. Like, were you one?
No, I had like when I was in fifth grade, I had a girlfriend in fifth grade.
See, I told you, I called
who,
it.
Who like wanted to talk for hours on the phone, and I would play. That's how I got good at that game, Labyrinth, with the marble.
God, I hate men.
You were just playing that. Wow,
It's totally mindless. It's not a thing where we just listen to some REM, play Labyrinth, and talk to Leanne.
I would be on the phone with anybody for like hours at a time. Like, you watching Cops right now too? All right. And then not talk for like 10 minutes and then be like, oh shit. Oh my God. Is this for, what the fuck are they thinking? All right. Anyway. Yeah.
That's that old school bonding. I love that shit.
Yeah, I miss that shit.
Sorry, Jack.
I don't not like talking to people.
It sounds like you hate talking to everybody. It sounds like you hate talking to us right now.
He keeps wanting to
differ with you.
Why do you hate me, bro?
The time. The
I'm
time
out here just trying to
slow.
Connect. I'm trying to connect with you, and you're just like, ugh.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, just let me in. But yeah, I think just even for a quick one, just call and say, you good? Hey, all right, fine.
Hey, it's good to hear your voice.
It hits so different hearing a voice. That's it.
Yeah, it does. That's
Do you think maybe we long for it more because we kind of came up in the time when the only thing we had to communicate with our friends was a telephone? Like, even before AIM, like, you just will call somebody on the phone. And I wonder if it's so inbuilt that we still desire that.
100% true. And which is also true for, you know, our parents' generation. Like, they would, they love the phone. And that's why I really hate that these younger kids, these kids these days, they're just not, they don't even know how wonderful it is because they have never really done it, you know? Yeah. Like, right. It's not the thing that they do. I mean, remember when three-way calling came out?
Oh.
These white bitches tried to trap me into talking shit. Oh, man, that was so funny. Like, the drama that you can get
they
with
didn't
phone
have to
calls.
Trap
what
you,
do you
I'm
think
sure.
of her? You're like, what?
That was
oh, you're
big.
Like, let me tell you. Oh, you came to the right place.
No. You know what happened? She said, oh, what did you think about, Mandy? And I was like, oh, yeah, remember what you said? You said that she was a fucking bitch. I do agree with that. I do agree that what you said about her being a fucking bitch. I didn't even know I was getting set up.
Yeah.
But I fucking fucked their friendship up for a little while. It was great.
There you go.
The whole thing. Keeping take it, them all down with you.
Yeah, it was fun. It was like a better version of that Mean Girls scene.
Right.
But what do you think of super producer Anna Hosnier, actually, Marcella?
What do I think of her? I think she's fucking great. No, she, we Zoomed before I did the first, quarantine daily zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy to catch up with her. I forced her on the phone. I was like, stay on. Let's catch up, bitch. And she was just like, okay, I'll stay on. And then we were catching up and we were having fun. It was like we were hanging out. Because I love, especially with women, like it's just so fun to catch up. We're so great. Me and Anna kind of look like we're related.
Mm.
Got that Lebanese blood in me. So we look like we're related,
I can see y'all at the same cookout for sure.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
No.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated. I think the back.
Sorry, I just finally saw the vest. Yeah.
I'm like, whoa. I'm like, am I in another weird delay where you've already heard her underrated?
Sorry, Anna just sent them. Wow.
Yeah, they're a sight to behold.
Yeah.
Underrated. I think The Bachelor and Bachelorette as a cultural clock on America. Mm. I think we could predict elections off of this franchise. I think watching The Bachelor should replace Nate Silver. I think it is a more accurate look at what's going on in our country, and it doesn't get enough attention for the work it's doing.
So what have we? Tell us what you've learned.
Did The Bachelor Bachelorette predict the 2016 election?
To me, yes, because I was watching it and I was like,
"Walk me through that."
Okay, so The Bachelor is one of the number one shows in America, and sort of the way when Trump was elected, they were like, 53% of white women did what? Like they did what? And if you'd been watching The Bachelor, you'd be like, yes, of course they voted for Trump. You've not been paying attention to them. And so, you know, in that year, it was Caitlin Bristow was The Bachelorette right before the election. And this was a season where it was, you know, when the woman is picking the men, she's in the position of power. And that season they brought in another woman and made the men vote on which woman they wanted to pick them. So immediately it was like, we still shit on women. And then her season was all about, she like has sex with one of the dudes early on.
And they were like tripping, right? And she's like, yo, I'm gonna fuck who I want to.
She's like, I'm gonna fuck who I want to. And then America was like, you're a slut.
Right,
we
right,
kill
right.
You.
Like, I saw the GOAT season recap of this one.
Yes. And so people lost their minds. And then the franchise had to speak out and sort of do a like, here's what slut shaming is. We don't want to do this to women. And they were, you know, the whole Bachelor franchise was like, we don't. Are we gonna allow this? And like, that's the year that like, it's like, of course Hillary wasn't gonna be president. Caitlyn can't fuck a dude on The Bachelor without getting death threats.
Right.
So, and also, you know, the people on The Bachelor are a specific type of person who, like, they always post a photo for Veterans Day. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you can celebrate Veterans Day in a lot of ways, but Bachelor candidates are like swimsuit, me at a restaurant, happy Veterans Day. Here's a picture of a firework. So they really tell you like what women are up to. And that year was like, yeah, we hate women. Women hate other women.
Right. So without spoiling it, we got a blue wave coming.
Well, but we have to look at our last blue wave, which was Rachel Lindsay, by and far the best human to ever be on The Bachelor.
Wow.
She's a black woman. She's incredible. She's perfect in every way, kind of the way we make women who are not white be beyond perfect to get a chance at love, I guess. No one watched her season. It's the lowest rated season of The Bachelorette of all time. And it's one of the best seasons of all time because she's incredible. That was in 2017. And now we're coming out with Tayshia, and then the next dude is a black dude. I think if we're watching The Bachelorette, I think we're going to have a strong blue wave coming our way.
God,
that is
please
my prediction.
Be right. Please, Bachelorette, save us.
This could be its own podcast, just an entire podcast that looks at the political implications of The Bachelor and Bachelorette. That fucking rules.
Listen, I don't have enough Xanax for him to not win. The whole show.
Yeah, that's
is
what
Dale.
I thought. Okay, that's what I was saying. Like, everybody knows. And the thing
everybody
that I learned over
knows
the weekend that Anna
Dale.
Showed me, he's a Party City model because the dude is so light skinned, he would be a Party City model.
He's like,
yeah, somebody found Dale.
Party City.
Yes, like, you're like, look, he's a Roman soldier. And they're like, oh shit, he's a witch man.
That is such a specific, like, level of model.
Yeah, yeah. Parties. Especially when, like, you got to ham it up in a costume. When you're like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is also going to be the first time, you know, they call it whoever gets the person the winner, as if it's not your love life. But I think this is going to be the first time that a black dude wins ever.
Wow.
Ooh. Yeah.
All right.
And he's winning and now, with Claire.
And now we have America's black man, Joe Biden, running for president. So, you know, good times.
One of my favorite underrateds of all time. I'll just say that right there. I'm about to talk about these experts who've been predicting that 2020 was like when we would dissolve into civil war, basically, since 2010. But they've been saying that the civil war will be fought with crank radios. Just arm yourself with crank radios. No, this is just a story BuzzFeed
News. No, actually, civil war is coming. So,
I mean... So there are these experts who, and
you know, just watching the election coverage, you can find an expert who's going to predict anything. And these people are definitely on the in the minority who think that we're definitely headed for a civil war. One thing that makes it kind of eerie is that they've been saying around 2020, America is going to be really poised for a civil war for 10 years. That's like long before Trump was even on the scene. And yeah, they've basically been saying that inequality is the thing that's going to drive America to some sort of like violent conflict. That one of the two experts is, in 1994, the US military like contracted the CIA to help figure out a way to predict if a state was going to like dissolve into chaos, like after the Black Hawk Down events in Somalia, where like that where Somalia kind of dissolved into a civil war, and America felt like the American military wasn't prepared. So they contracted this guy. This guy was in charge of like creating the model that was basically predicting when a state was going to dissolve. And then he hadn't really thought about applying it to the US. And then this other expert kind of reached out to him, and they started putting models together to like see how the US would fare in one of those. And it is bad. It's not good.
I mean, we have terrible inequality in so many different levels in this country that, yeah, the seeds are there for sure. It's just like, it's interesting sometimes when you look at other places that fall into civil war down like religious, like back, like religious ideologies, or like sort of more traditional, like, you know, ethnic backgrounds and things like that. Whereas like the US is like, it's like depends on where you get your news.
Yeah.
And like what culture, like it's more of a cultural thing that's like dividing people.
Yeah.
And so on one level, I'm like, yes, it's definitely enough that the fracturing is there, but it's like, are these beliefs like, that's what I'm like, what is it going to take for it to really get to that next point where someone is beginning to say like, oh, the reason for this, the reason my factory or the reason I have less work is because of Democrats, because they did X or whatever. When a lot of people are starting to kind of like also just kind of start figuring out like it's capitalism and slightly like the oligarchical class too, that there's like, what the, because both sides do talk about how these rich people are taking shit. So
they're starting to. Yeah.
Yeah. But I get it. I mean, it, like when you look at sort of the factors of like sort of the boxes that need to be ticked, like we've ticked many or a part like halfway through the check mark of ticking a box fully.
But yeah, how are we going to have a civil war when one side has all the guns and the other side has no guns?
Right. That's what I've always been like. I feel like the liberal side of this conflict feels too secure when, yeah, what you're saying is absolutely true. Like,
wait,
the police
are
on one side, the yeah, people with guns are on one side, and like the liberals have a mainstream media that was willing to like roll over for the Iraq war, like both times.
But you know what we have? We have Netflix shows with really strong female leads.
Right.
And they could really make a difference.
Spiritually, it's going to be.
Well, I mean, there's also the uptick in like gun registrations has been coming from the left.
Both sides,
Yeah, but especially like the exponentially people on the left are also like, I don't know, like, I guess I need to be able to clap somebody if it goes down. But like, it's definitely, the tension is there. I don't know if it's going to be like door to door, neighbor versus neighbor, or more like these things where you see these like groups like Patriot Front, who like their chat logs just came, like BuzzFeed released some of their chat logs where they're talking about like, we have to prepare for violence no matter who wins. And like there are groups like that are organized, who aren't even aligned with the left or the right. They're purely there for like the establishment of, reestablishing the United States as an ethno state. Right. And are they going to just fight against local governments? Is it like what we're seeing with Gretchen Whitmer, where people are going to just go after very specifically political leaders? It's, who knows?
Right. But I mean,
like the sheriff, there was a local sheriff who was on board with the Gretchen Whitmer thing. And like that, that's the thing. I think that the degree to which the police are ready to enact violence, not just on people who are protesting, but just ready to do it because they feel like they're being attacked, is somewhat underrated. But the BuzzFeed article about these two experts does end on sort of a hopeful note, because they said that America was going through a very similar thing in the 20s into the 30s, as like a lot of Europe was sliding into fascism. The U.S. was flirting with fascism. A lot of like Hitler's ideas came from the U.S. But then the U.S. elected FDR, and, you know, he was able to enact like kind of socialist policies that I do think, like, what, to your point, Miles, like, if everybody just understands, oh, it's like the inequality is what's causing all of this, and inequality can be addressed, then I think we're back on the right path.
But this means believing Biden is our new FDR.
Or at least he can hold things off until the new FDR comes along.
Or really, it's about putting pressure on him
right, constantly
if he's elected, so he can cave to the progressive wing. Yeah. Because the progressives are more mobilized to try and get out there. They're not, you know, like limousine liberal class people are not hitting the streets because their right, needs are fully met. But there are so many people who are realizing what the stakes are in this country and what the pathway there, which is refreshing. But yeah, it all depends on if, you know, it's just about these competing explanations for your disenfranchisement or your lack of opportunity. And I think some people who are progressive can see that there's the way this country is set up is meant to benefit a very small number of people while having the rest suffer. And I think a lot of people on the right are sort of disconnected from that reality. They just see suffering or lack of opportunity without wanting to explore it much further and just say, voice I trust, what's the explanation? And it seems like even now, like, those explanations they're like wearing thin a bit, you know, like they're not
right,
they're not as captivating as shit used to be, when you could be like, it's the damn immigrants,
right?
Like, that's kind of like dwindling too. Like, that's not as like, oh, right, because you can even tell, like, when Trump even says it, he's even like tired of being like, and you know, these people come here and they don't pay taxes, and so they're a drain. What else? Biden. He's a Chinese spy. Like,
it's Biden's like, son. Like,
right.
Yeah, because I think, like, racism can only explain shit to a certain point, like, where, you know, because racism isn't like a logical thing. Like, it can't, it's hard to really explain
it's
to somebody.
It's a feeling in
like,
your heart.
Yeah, it's like, how do I make that jump, though? It's like a Disney character. It's like, where, okay, oh, yes, my racist, I'll open my racist heart to the possibility that this nonsensical explanation is how I will better my life. But yeah, when people's needs are met, they're less likely to look around in anger at people around them. And I think that's the bottom line to your point about, like, the thing that can save people is have people's needs met. If you are not starving, you're less likely to be trying to figure out a solution to that that could end in violence, or if you need employment or other opportunities for upward mobility. So yeah, who knows? Maybe we'll see.
We just gotta wait for Biden. AOC, FDR yeah,
Biden's
to
the
AOC.
New FDR. Don't forget, what's his name? Robinette, Joe Robinette Biden.
Yeah, JRB.
Listen, JRB. Don't watch the Kerry Washington Anita Hill movie, or your belief in Biden goes down.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think most people who, yeah, I mean,
listen, you could also just read the real history, but you could also watch the Kerry Washington Anita Hill movie about it, and it'll go down a little easier.
Yeah, right. But to that point, FDR was also a racist, like, socialite, so yeah. You know, people can still enact
internment camps happened policy under that, his policies.
Yeah.
But that's America, you know what I mean? And yeah, are we the fools for still believing
America.
In it? We're seeing it, and yet we're still like, yeah, man, this thing could work. I think so.
God, I hope we win. Yeah.
But like, there's yes, go.
There's
Joe.
Articles from, like, I just happened to come across this, like, Irish article from, like, the Irish Times or what, one of their newspapers, where they're like, everybody's worried about this election. They're just like, yo, what is
yeah, they should
happen
be
to these fuckers? Like, they, whoo,
Because, it was suddenly you found out the nicest house on the block had a bunch of racist hoarders living inside.
Right.
And the garbage is spilling out into the neighborhood. And you're like, what the fuck? I thought that house had all their shit. They were the ones going around calling people out on their shit.
Right.
And look at all this bullshit spilling out the front door. They don't even know how to oh, my God. And then I think a lot of people were like, holy shit, we believe that bullshit, too, to a certain extent.
I feel like it has to feel so good. It's like going, if you went into the Kardashian house and it was just full of rotting garbage, you'd be like, tight. I'm so happy about that. That's what everyone's experiencing now.
Yeah. It's that Michael Jackson eating popcorn gif over and over again. From around the world.
Or I'm sure at a certain level, it fucks with your whole like worldview. Like if you were buying into like the media propaganda that was being pumped out of the US for decades, that you're like, dude, America's like this dope ass place, man, where it's all good. And to a certain extent, I mean, depending on who you are in this country, you have been experiencing some semblance of a civil war with a constant assault on your existence. So that's why, like, when I look at this, I'm like, honestly, though, there are people out here who really are. I don't know how much worse it could get. I guess the difference being some stranger is shooting them in the street or something. But for all intents and purposes, they have no support from, you know, the municipalities, from the communities and things like that, from fucking law enforcement, whatever you want to call it. So it all depends on how you're looking at it. It's like when people say, they're like, who's to say that, like, if you say there's no hell, who's to say that this isn't hell right now?
Mm. Yeah.
That is my favorite Instagram quote.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
But you gotta
this
do that cursive, but with that lovely cursive font on like fake parchment paper.
Cottage
backdrop.
Core. Who's to say this isn't hell?
Who's to say this isn't hell? Live, laugh, scream.
Just like
live, laugh, civil war. Yeah. Live, laugh, register for a gun, even if you're a Democrat. Yeah.
The New York Times recently reported on a story that we've been checking in with. I thought I had my mind made
for
up.
For years now.
For years. Literally years. We're 3 years into this motherfucker. So when the Trump administration first started, there were accounts of CIA agents and diplomats working in Cuba getting attacked by these like sound weapons. They would like get out of bed, suddenly a beam of sound would hit them, and they would have concussion-like symptoms. And it was a wild story. People were like, they're using like sci-fi weapons on Americans. But then like as it went on, like the symptoms were so vague and they all overlapped with like symptoms of aging. It was like, my hearing is worse and my balance is worse. Right. And it just had a lot of the hallmarks of mass hysteria. The other reason that it had the hallmarks of mass hysteria is the broader context was the Trump administration wanted to pull people out of Cuba because they wanted to just withdraw and do away with all the progress that the Obama administration had made in Cuba. So there's new information that is putting a shred of doubt into my thinking on that is what was happening, because they're saying that there have been these attacks throughout the world, including in Russia and in China. And I knew that there had been some in China around the same time.
Right.
I thought it was all part of like a similar, like once they heard what was happening in Cuba, they were like, oh shit, maybe the same thing is happening to me.
Get in on this.
Yeah. But there's also people who were attacked in Russia. Like they got out of bed in their hotel and suddenly like they had a concussion, even though nothing had happened to them. So now these CIA agents who were attacked are like pointing out that there is a pretty clear theory that you could come to that this is all Russia, that Russia is doing it in Cuba because they don't want American-Cuban relations to improve. They did it to CIA agents who were undercover in Russia. They did it to people in China because they don't want American-Chinese relations to go well. And the Trump administration is actually ignoring it everywhere that's not Cuba because the Trump administration, you know, just does not want to
have negative interactions with Russia with regards to any mistreating of American, you know, it would be of a piece with, you know, the Trump administration ignoring the fact that Vladimir Putin and Russia was putting bounties out on U.S. soldiers.
So you're saying you're moving from the mass hysteria column, because before you were firmly, I believe, that like when this story first came out, I remember you bringing up a lot of other sort of mass hysteria things that had gone on where people were all believing something was going on. And now you are actually being like, all right, maybe it's microwave weapons.
Maybe it's microwave weapons from Russia. I don't know. I mean, I've always said I'm open to like being convinced either way.
Sure.
I think it's just a super interesting mystery. I think the way that the human mind can create these mass hysterias that are in fact like become physical is really fascinating. That's a super interesting subject. It happens all the time. It's more common and more devastating, more powerful than anybody, than people usually give it credit for. But I also think that there's now, you know, context that makes it possible that, you know, the reason we only had the Cuba, like, details on the Cuba thing was because the Trump administration is covering for Russia to try and, you know, keep things quiet. Wow. Because Trump is homies with Putin.
I had not heard of this. This is very interesting. Microwave weapons. Wow.
Super interesting. I'm just going from pretty firmly in the this is hysteria camp to having one foot that like I'd be perfectly willing to believe that it's hysteria and one foot in the it would also make sense to me if Trump was covering up for a bunch of Russian attacks, because that just seems to be what he does.
I mean, yeah, he was willing to ignore, you know, bounties on U.S.
straight
troops,
up so. Bounties wow. on U.S. troops. How does that, that's another, like, the more distance I have from the final debate, the more I'm like, there's so many things that they could have brought up that
I was
Biden
just
could
thinking,
have brought up. Like, he didn't bring up the bounties, he didn't bring up
fracking,
Helsinki.
Man, fracking.
He didn't, like, they just, Democrats just get themselves, like, they triangulate themselves into a corner where they just, like, think that they have to be, you know, delicate and balanced and careful about their wording. And it's like, just say the thing you think.
Yeah. Right. And I think if Biden had brought up microwave weapons in the debate, I think everybody would have been like paying attention. All those undecided, like, what? Microwave, what? Yeah. To my mind? So, it's a lost opportunity right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just like, that's all time wasted on fracking. And it's like so funny how there's all this concern about there's no middle class and da da da. And yet you know mathematically, if you started talking about things like minimum wage or the working class, you're immediately going from a topic that maybe only affects like the 30,000 people directly involved with fracking in Pennsylvania to millions of Americans across the entire country. Cause then you're like, oh, well, I don't know what the fuck fracking is. But you start to, maybe we can talk a little bit more about this minimum wage and how even $15 isn't actually a living wage either. And maybe we could talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's any person, unless you're such a craven racist, which you're like a Trump supporter, where you're going to be like, I don't want to hear about how minimum wage should be more money so people could actually like raise a family on that. I don't want to hear about that. Like, what the, what?
Yeah.
I remember when my mom would say, like, in the 70s, she and my dad would have, like, these random jobs, like, minimum wage. But, like, they paid their apartment, they got groceries, they were able to, you know, have a family. Like, all those things that minimum wage used to do, and now it's nothing, you can't sustain life. So, I don't know why, like, people just seem to forget what that used to bring, you know, what that used to mean for a family.
It would seem like being the party that cares about people and that wants the majority of people to have a living wage, like all the people who are being left behind, like that they would be the party that wouldn't have to carefully choose every word and like use political speak. But the Democrats, I feel like, can't get out of their own way a lot of the time.
I mean, like, 42% of Americans make under $15 an hour.
Yeah.
So just what you go from a wedge-ish, a niche wedge issue, talking about fracking, and you start talking about minimum wage a little bit more, talking about, hey, people, I understand the pandemic's hard. I understand you might have a child. You know, actually, you should probably be making at least $25 an hour if you are a single parent trying to survive in a metropolitan area. But, you know, it's all this, whatever. I mean, I think that's I think that's because both parties are just so ill-equipped to begin talking about those issues, because they all those roads lead back to the donor class that actually need to be taxed more and need to be earning, like, making less profit. So it's just always about, like, you know, let's talk about minimum wage, and then we'll just leave it there, and then have arguments over, like, what a relative living wage is based on where you live in the country, rather than, like, addressing the need of Americans to be able to live in a way that their labor is compensated in a you know, proportionate manner.
Yeah, right. Like, they haven't raised the minimum wage in 11 years. That's never happened since it was first established in 1938. Congress has never let it go unchanged for so long. Like, how do you not just, like, be like, yeah, this is the problem. We will change that. This guy hasn't and refuses to and is just focused on the stock market. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. And let's do a little brain bleach news before we get back into some election bullshit.
Quick breath of fresh air.
Heinz is giving away tomato blood ketchup via TikTok.
That's a headline on the takeout.
That is.
It's also a sentence that's definitely never been said before in the history of
That's what I mean. Like, that's the most 2020 headline that is not a doom-based headline. You know what I mean? Like, normally you're like, is your vote transforming into a Wuhan bat and biting your elderly relatives? I would also be like, that sounds like a 2020 headline. Right. But this, the idea of, pretty self-explanatory. Heinz rebranding ketchup as tomato blood and using TikTok to get the buy-in of Gen Z. And I was just, the bottle looks, I'm not going to lie, the bottle looks cool. I actually prefer the tomato blood aesthetic than our typical ketchup thing. But
they're not thinning the ketchup or anything. If it's actual blood consistency,
imagine?
Well, I would have to check that out as opposed to it just being a label. Like, who knows?
Could you handle if it was less viscous but had the same flavor?
If it was the consistency of like Cholula, Cholula is kind of a viscous but not quite like thick, pudding thick as ketchup is.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to. The one thing I think about is like, this is such a non-controversial thing. Or it's like, oh, tomato blood, cool, Heinz. Like, what would happen if Heinz got political? You know what I mean? Because like, they're such an American brand. Like, you could be racist as fuck, or so left that you fucking left Earth. That Heinz is just accepted as like, yeah, that's ketchup here. That's ketchup.
Oh,
straight up and down the middle. That if they were like, instead of tomato blood, they were like, what about this fall? Laborer blood to bring awareness to the disposable attitudes we have towards certain occupations in the pandemic. Like, would Republicans full on revolt?
Red Hines?
They have to go. They have to go hunts. Like, that's like, I feel like they have a line. I do feel like that would be the one brand that they would just
go
be
hunts.
Like, I mean, we can't do that. Come on.
But could they? Like, but what if you'll
wear
be like, don't
Saucony
you have
shoes
in your
instead
restaurant?
Of Nikes? But come on, man. I can't.
Is there a brand that could get political and America, like conservatives would really have trouble being like, I can't fucking put that down.
Budweiser?
Put that down.
Bud Heavy? Bud Light?
Bud.
They'd probably just switch over to
coffee. They don't give a fuck about.
Right.
And I'm sure if it was. There's enough truck makers that you could just pivot from one truck company to the other one.
Right.
But
you
I
would
feel
need
like
Ford and.
You would need like Chevy, Dodge, and Ford.
Ford to all.
To like form all, like a mecca, like.
Yeah.
Megazord of like.
Right.
Fuck the
like,
police or something.
Like a rock. And they're showing like immigrant workers, you know what I mean? Who are actually doing the hard work in this country and being like, to the real workers of this country, we salute you.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is that? Like, we are spending more money to like into programs for job security and trade school for people for a better tomorrow. Then, because I know like truck people are loyal as fuck. You know what I mean? Like,
people
like, especially like a Silverado and stuff. I know some people who's like their dads were Silverado people and their kids are Silverado people and they still just have this thing. But I don't know. I'm just trying to create a bad time for consumers who. like to vote with their dollars.
Coke v Pepsi. I feel like that would be they'd make that switch.
How would that look in Georgia though?
Yeah,
ooh.
Like if Coke got super woke Coke.
Oh yeah. Shit,
woke a cola.
I feel like I hope they're listening and like scribbling down some ideas because some of this should inspire. Woke a cola.
Yeah, they're like okay. Yeah,
some of this should inspire. They actually need to do it. It'll boost their stock numbers.
Rather than Coke Zero, how about Woke Heroes, where we shout out the Woke Heroes?
Coke Zero salutes the Woke Heroes.
Could you put down, do you like Pepsi more than Coke? Are you Coke Pepsi people? Does it matter to you?
It's all the same to me.
Yeah, Cola is kind of the same. I'm trying to think if there's anything I'd be like. No.
I'm only Pepsi in that Pepsi, like if there's Pepsi at a restaurant, there's a better chance that it's going to have Mountain Dew. That's the only.
That's when your eyes light up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I just thought of? If the opposite happened, if of like candy corn or something like terrible that everyone hates, like came out as like hating Muslims and all the conservatives are like, I'm only giving out candy corn this year.
Right. And you're finally like, you know what? I couldn't mean this more, but keep that. Go ahead. Just keep
that's
that
all
one.
You guys. That's all you guys.
That's for you. Didn't need that.
We're talking Krav Maga. Is that how it's pronounced?
Karate.
Krav Maga?
Krav Maga, yeah, the Israeli self-defense system where it's the most... Yo, like when you take a class there, I just remember it's all these old, former IDF dudes, goons, who are like just work as bouncers in LA now. And like they're in their off time, they're like being like, this is what I'm going to teach you, okay? Every fucking thing, every context of like a self-defense setup, the dude was describing assault. Like he'd be like, you know, okay, so this next one, he's like, hey, come here, bro. So let's say you're with your girlfriend out and this guy's talking shit. He wants to kiss your girlfriend or something. So you're going to walk up to him. And you're going to do the bow, and you're going to hit him like, and you're like, whoa, what is this?
Yo,
like
you that's break the assault, ankle like homie. This.
Yeah. And I'm like, bro, and none of these is a thing happening where someone is confronting me. It's you're saying I'm someone every time that every situation would be like, maybe this guy's talking shit to you. Like would be the start of how you would break out of a choke. Yeah. And you're like, what is any of this?
Dang. That's the Krav Maga class I took that I was telling you guys about.
Was it? Yeah. Were they really raising the stakes in your class?
Oh, yeah. Well, because it was for women. And it was sort of like Krav Maga will save you from your sexual assault that is fated in your life. This is you're going to get out of it. And so they'd be like, here I am. I'm coming in for the rape. What are you going to do?
Oh, my God.
And you're like, now for real? Helpful. Or like, yeah. But what I realized in that class was that I've got about 17 minutes in me before I'm done. Like they'd be like, run around the room, throw some punches. And at 17 minutes, I was like, I can't. I'm tired. Like, I won't, I've got 17 minutes until.
17 until, like, minutes
we still
is
have to
long.
Work on the pluck. The pluck. This is what happens if someone chokes you from the front. Here are your 9 blocks against knife attacks. Or
yes,
whatever
exactly.
They all were. I remember I had to do all those things. That was all when I was a very angry teenager. And I just wanted to learn how to.
Some men never become not angry teenagers.
No, yeah.
They become self-defense teachers.
Exactly. Anyway, shout out to therapy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the other. It's the other path.
I no longer need physical violence to express myself.
I just heard. I think it was on My Favorite Murder that one of the like pressure points you can use when defending yourself is like reaching into your assailant's mouth and pushing like under their tongue.
Oh yeah.
Uh-huh. Which that seems like you would lose a
There's
finger,
one under your nose too.
Really?
Right here, yeah. Oh, and then behind your jaw, you do these finger screw type things behind your jawbone. You could get somebody in a finger hold like this and you press up on their index finger, you could fucking do some Steven Seagal shit to somebody like that.
Wow.
Welcome to Miles Agro Corner from 2002.
Take your self-defense class for ladies,
it's,
Miles?
Now it's just so chill, though. It's, like, ineffective because I'm, like, I've turned a corner. I'm, like, you know, honestly, like, it's just about, like, surrounding yourself with awesome people. Right. That's the best defense.
But will you be able to forgive yourself?
No!
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show. If you like the show, means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.